Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to Mind Your Farm Business, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I am Sean Haney from realagriculture.com. We all know that farming is risky business. There are many variables that are outside of our control at all times. But hold on, there are variables that allow for risk management measures. Ask yourself, how much do you think about risk to your business besides weather and markets? Are you managing risk and not even realizing it? Our guest is Christian Hebert, and today we are talking risk. Joined right now on realagriculture.com by Christian Hebert. How are you doing today, Christian?
Doing great, Sean. You?
I'm doing fantastic. Okay, let's talk about risk. So in agriculture, we have a lot of risk. And right away, I think a lot of growers go to, well, there's a weather risk. But risk in agriculture goes far beyond just the weather. It is much more dynamic than that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I guess you can get really wide on risk and talk about everything from employee risk to litigation risk. But what I like to focus on first would be just total financial risk, which would be the amount of things that can affect your revenue stream and your net profit.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people, I think, when they think of financial risk, they look at, okay, well, my risk is that canola goes to $8 or soybeans go to $9 or $8 or whatever. But that's kind of a shallow way to evaluate risk on the farm.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I mean, I think in prior centuries especially, but prior decades, Mother Nature and markets were our two biggest risks. Now we're starting to see times where those two perils get coupled together, where political risk, i.e. trade wars or things going on in different parts of the country, highly affect our markets and then therefore affect our balance sheets. That could be on the movement of our grains, i.e. a blackleg issue in China, or it could be the price of oil and how it's getting affected by OPEC. Some of these global issues can really start to affect our bottom line.
Okay, but right away people are going to say, those things are way out of my control. How the heck can I even worry about them?
Well, I think the number one thing that kind of scares me is I talk to a lot of producers, and the first question I ask is, how much money can you lose on the worst year ever? And by the worst year ever, you know, if you want to use a Mother Nature risk, you could use the 04 Canada frost or the drought that went through the U.S. not that long ago. How much equity could that take from you? Because those are events that we can at least visualize in our minds. Now, there's a lot of other events that could cause just as much risk. But in your operation, if that happened, if frost took you down to 20% of production, how much money could you lose?
Well, there's a lot of guys north of Saskatoon and north of Edmonton that felt that kind of worst-case scenario last year with harvest. Just as an example of, or a taste, so to speak, of what can happen in a year when it's that worst-case sort of scenario.
100%. And it's not that we can handle and deal with every risk that's going to get thrown at us. We obviously can't affect OPEC's production of oil and how that's going to affect our fuel price. However, we can know the worst case scenario that we're willing to accept on any given year before we even go to the field with our seeders and planters. And I think if you go to the field knowing that number, that I've built my strategy, that I'm only willing to lose this much equity, that it won't hinder my operation next year, you actually farm more aggressively because you farm the way you want to farm, because in the back of your mind, you're not playing these games on how you're self-insuring without even knowing it.
So is that like that scenario like in sports where, you know, hey, we really thought we were a 500 club, and or we thought we were, let's say in baseball, we thought we were an 81-win team. We got to that three quarters of the way through the year. The rest of the year is really just, it's just found money. Is that that kind of attitude?
Well, yeah, and I think as producers, we do a number of things to manage risk without even knowing it. So you can use examples like, I won't forward sell until it's in my bin. Well, that could be just a risk management tool because you're scared you won't have the production and you're actually scared of the contract buyout and having nothing to buy. So you could have pre-managed that risk and pre-sold for a very valuable number, but you've self-insured that risk. Or there's individuals that'll carry grain over to the whole next year, and the simple reason is that's my money for next year if I have the worst year ever. So they're doing it in ways they don't even know they're doing it already. My theory would be, let's actually know that number and then build the strategy on how it works.
So in working on your risk management, are many producers actually the best at risk management when it's sort of that it's a built-in component of their business strategy instead of, okay, it's Monday morning, I got to sit down and work on my risk management. It's actually a part of daily decision-making instead?
Yeah, hands down. There's a few producers I know that literally have a risk management strategy. So they know that they are willing to risk X dollars of equity on the worst black swan year ever, and they build their risk management to that plan because they know that won't affect how they farm next year. They'll farm every bit as good. And since they know that number, they feel that all they do is go make the right decision with the facts that they have. Risk never holds it back. So if it's to go spray a fungicide a second time, it's not, oh dear, I've already got $200 an acre in that crop. It's no, it's the right thing to do. We're going to do it. Because they're already comfortable with how much money could lose in the worst year ever. So they just try and go hit home runs instead of bunts or singles or doubles.
And that's the part you're talking about where once you actually know that bottom, that baseline, you actually can be more aggressive in your decision making because you actually know what you actually have to lose.
Hands down. And you think about it in succession terms. How many farms have you seen where a son or daughter is trying to run a farm and you have the older generation pulling back on the reins because they don't like the risk? Yet when they were the same age as the son or daughter, they were going full bore ahead and risking more than they ever would. What if both parts of that succession knew what the risk was and had a strategy that they already knew how much money they could risk? I think farms just take off.
Okay, so this makes a lot of sense to me. Is it possible though to be too risk adverse, where you're really, you know, where you think about all these things that can go wrong instead of actually thinking about, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's, and right now we have a lot of geopolitical issues. We have a lot of talk about trade wars, things that could interrupt normal course of business that are out of our control. We're looking weather wise, where we, you know, if we in some parts of Western Canada, if we don't get a dry spring, major issues. We always have the possibility to drought. There's a lot of things to worry about that could be wrong. That can be paralyzing.
Well, I think you've just explained it, right? It's paralysis by analysis.
Oh, for sure.
Of which then no decision's ever made. But last time I checked, inflation still runs at 3%. So if we do nothing, we're actually dying every day. Right? It's just the treadmill of death. Take your time.
Yeah, sometimes I'm on the treadmill. I do feel like I'm on the treadmill of death.
Fair enough. But I think what if that individual built a risk management plan that their worst case scenario was break even? So they put strategies in place, whether it be through insurance or investors or backup equity they have, that the worst thing they could do was break even. So now you can worry about whatever you want, but still go for it.
Hey, what percentage of producers do you think actually think that way? Because you put it in very simple terms, it makes a lot of sense. But I'm gonna say that my guess would be that a lot of people don't really think that way.
Yeah, when you ask the question, how much money could you lose, very few can answer the number confidently.
Well, in the feed yard sector, we're quite used to that.
Exactly. Feedlots and especially, you know, and that's true in with pigs and with feathers and with cattle feeding. The margins have been so tight that they've had to be very good at their costs and very good at their capital utilization and very good at their risk management plan. And you're right, that's crop and livestock producers need to get to that same point.
Yeah, I've had this same discussion a lot of times with some of the agronomic people we talk to all the time, where we talk about, you know, commodity prices have come down since 2012 quite substantially. And when people see lower commodity prices, the first thing they do is they make the decision to cut back on production, they lower costs. And so you've taken away the opportunity for upside in yield to compensate for those lower prices. That's bad risk management.
Yeah, you're right. So fertilizer, seed, and chemical are obviously the three biggest cups of expense, right? And it's the first thing as producers we tend to go looking at in order to save money. But you're right. Now you've decreased production, so you've double slammed your net income. Where I would argue that in a year of low commodity prices, you should be shooting for the biggest production you've ever had in order to still hit your gross revenue number and be focusing 100% on fixed cost expense management. So some little easy things there would be, what if you did 1,000 acres of custom combining additional to yours? You just spread your combine out over that many more acres, change your fixed costs. What if you change your family draw from 150,000 on a 5,000 acre farm down to 100,000 for that year? Well, $50,000 on 5,000 acres is a significant number when you start spreading it out. So we need to look at fixed cost management in ag, period. Those costs have over doubled since 2000. So the cost of break even on a farm, if you're truly figuring out your break even, paying yourself land rent and wages, has doubled since 2000. So has your strategy on the risk side of that doubled at the same time?
And so when you say risk management strategies, what are some of the things that you're talking about? Because a lot of times people's minds go in different directions here. One is you know, cutting costs as an example. You mentioned some of the salaries. Or other strategies could be futures market, derivatives, hedging the commodity. What are some other things that, that should fit into a risk management strategy?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I chair the board for Global Ag Risk, so we believe insurance is a big part of your plan. So the first way we like to discuss there is how much are you willing to lose of your equity? Let's get a platform set up so that's the most you can lose in the worst year ever. Now let's go look at all the ways that we believe can make you more money because you've handled that risk. And you're bang on. Futures, options, forward contracting, you know, things even such as variable rate and trials on your own farm to improve production. That's all up on the top side, the gross margin side. And then, yeah, peer groups and advisory boards can be ways to show what's my percentage of wages to gross revenue compared to yours and why is it so much different? Or what's my repairs per acre versus yours? All of those little things, monthly budget analysis in order to see variance from prior year to current year. Do you know why your repairs were $14 an acre from 95 to 2000, but now all of a sudden they're 22 to 25, and have you done anything about it?
Well, we were talking earlier, before we hit record here, was about, you know, cash versus accrual, right? So managing your business by the size of the bank account. You know, hey, things are great. You know, we've got lots of cash in the bank, and you totally forgot about the fact that you have all these expenses that are coming up. That seems funny.
I know.
But it happens lots. Not just in agriculture, but in small business.
Period,
yeah.
So I'm a huge advocate, obviously, of all small business should be on accrual statements. I don't actually believe you can manage it without it, not correctly. And it'll be painful the first year until you get your head wrapped around it. But with proper consultants and good accountants that'll help you, it's an extraordinary change in how you run your business. So once you have accrual statements, then you can get down to some of the nuances that would make you a better manager. One we use on our operation is we want 50% working capital percent. So we want to have working capital that would pay 50% of next year's expenses. And we set our risk management plan in order to keep it there. So in the worst year ever, we build an insurance policy for our farm so that we don't drop under 50% working cap. Now, if we did, what are our strategies to re-lever, whether we're going to use it through leverage or investors or an insurance policy or whatever, in order to keep it there? Because we believe if our working cap percent drops lower than that, we're going to miss opportunities because we don't have cash.
And if it does go below that, then you engage those strategies to get it back to where it needs to be.
Exactly right. And it might simply be that you go lever two quarters that you've said you're not going to do unless you have to in a disaster in order to bring your working cap up. It might not be insurance and it might not be other strategies. It could be internal strategies, but at least you have a plan.
Well, Christian, this has been awesome. I love talking to you about this kind of stuff. It's I just can't get enough of it. And I really thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks for joining us today on Mind Your Farm Business. You can find more episodes of this podcast at mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Thanks to our sponsor, RBC, and also Christian Hebert for joining us today to talk about this under-discussed subject of risk. Until next time, keep minding your farm business.